Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord.
As I mentioned in our introduction today, this is Respect Life Sunday. And typically when we think of Respect Life Sunday, the issue of legalized abortion comes in focus. And I suppose that is rightly so, because any of our other rights are meaningless if we're not born. But Respect Life Sunday is ultimately about fostering a respect for all human life, from conception to natural death. Thus, it means that we are being against abortion, euthanasia, capital punishment, embryonic stem cell research. But it also includes being against the sin of racism, human trafficking, and anything that would exploit another human being. What would tie all of this together under the issue of respect life? Well, it's a foundational belief of ours that we believe that God created us alongside of everything else in creation, but there is something that places human beings at the top of creation. God created man in his image. In the divine image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That scripture passage is the foundation of our belief. And it also was cited in the Statement of Unity that Christian churches here in New Albany wrote to battle against that sin of racism. We are created in God's image. Now, I think it's important for us to move aside what that means in terms of our physical similarities to God, and focus more deeply on other aspects of humanity to understand how we are created in His image. The ability to choose is one of those aspects, otherwise known as free will. It is an essential component of our humanity, of our likeness to God. No other creature has free will. This is so important to our humanity that God gave it to us, despite knowing that we would abuse it. What was the first action taken by our parents was to not choose God, but to choose to disobey Him, to choose to become like God. Now, the ability to choose God or not leads us to another aspect of being created in God's image and likeness, and that is to love as God loves. We cannot love as God loves without the freedom to choose. We believe that God is all-loving, that He created the world out of love, because He desired to have creatures He could share His love. When we love each other as God loves, we are fulfilling our destiny to be holy as Jesus is holy. God loves. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves the Father and the Son. It is the essence of the life of the Trinity. And as created in God's image and likeness, we are called to love in the same way, selflessly, totally. Jesus Christ, our Savior, was never more divine than when He showed His love for us by dying on the cross. This is a selfless love. A love that seeks the good of others, even at the expense of one's own life. You know, these are kind of the reasons why it frustrates me when I hear pro-abortion advocates using this idea of emphasizing pro-choice. Because after all, someone who is truly pro-choice is appropriately pro-love and pro-God. Pro-choice actually means one is freely exercising their God-given freedom. When we exercise our abilities properly to choose and to love, it is when we are most like our God. Instead, the enemies of life foster this self-centered attitude that eliminates their Creator from their lives, instead setting themselves up as gods. I, rather than God, will decide if this unborn child lives or not. I, rather than God, will decide if this sick person should be killed or not. I, rather than God, will take this person's life in the name of justice. I, rather than God, will determine that these fertilized eggs will be used for medical research. As followers of Jesus Christ, we know that turning our back on Him leads us down a path of despair. But instead, we are called to focus on our Savior and to do His will. When we embrace His will for us, when we make our Lord and Savior as the center of our lives, this is what gives us hope. This is what gives us fulfillment. Thus, the battle is life versus death, or choosing God versus putting the creature in place of the Creator. We've already seen how that has impacted the human family throughout our history because of the choice made by Adam and Eve. But through our baptism, we have chosen a side. We have chosen to follow God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have chosen them so that we may love as they love. But we also know that we don't always choose properly. We don't always love as completely as we should. And so we pray for the gifts of the Spirit, knowledge and understanding, right judgment and courage, to aid us in continuing that lifelong journey of turning our hearts back to God, to the God who loved us before we were born, to the God who delights when we choose him. But this isn't just about our own hearts, because it is truly the conversion of the hearts of all in our society. This is what will increase the respect of all human life. And so, we pray. We pray that our hearts may continue to turn back to our God. We pray that we may, day after day of our lives, choose God. And we pray that he will use us to do the same for each and every person we encounter. It is those converted hearts that will result in a true respect of all human life.